Tip today, in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Hi, Sarah. Welcome back to Pier Street in Nina, to the Tip FM Broadcast Centre. And we're always glad to be here on Wednesdays. And if you're passing by the door, drop in and say hello. You'd be made very welcome indeed. Now, just to remind you again, we have that fantastic prize for our texters. It is a hamper from O'Sullivan's Pharmacy in Feathert, because they are celebrating 100 years in business. So a lovely hamper to give away today based on you interacting with us by text, joining in the conversations, getting something off your chest, getting up on your soapbox, whatever it is. Get texting on 083-311-3311. John joins me online. Good morning to you, John.
Morning, Fran. How are you?
And good to talk to you today as well. Following our talk about the crime meeting in Cooldairy, you were talking to Trudy about it. You have some thoughts on crime, John?
Well, actually, Fran, I think this thing of saying as regards people having guns and that and defending yourself, I think people are going to have to get together as communities and neighbours to actually try and come up with something, or even just to notify each other, or if there's any fear, say you hear something at night, that you can contact your neighbours. Because it's going to be impossible, and it is impossible really, for Gardaí to get to every house and within a certain amount of time.
Now, some of the community alerts in various different neighbourhoods attempt to do that. Do you think that's not enough, John?
No, not really, Fran, because I tell you, where people are, like one of the Gardaí referred to on the interview the other day, and he was saying that people have guns, and if they break into the house, that they're going to catch unawares. Now, I was doing a bit of inquiring, and I'll explain to you in a minute as well. I done a bit of inquiring myself on the internet, and I still maintain that if you can get some sort of warning before people actually get on, when they get onto your property, or before they get onto your property, most alarm systems, when the house has been broken into or someone has broken into it, they alert the people. But I was just looking up, and I was maintaining that if you get a warning before the people get onto your property.
Yeah.
Now, I was just looking up last night, and there is a system. Now, I don't know how effective it is, or I have to inquire more into it, but it's a GSM perimeter and an intruder alarm.
Right.
Now, it'll notify you before the people actually, or the thieves or whoever, get onto your premises.
That sounds very interesting indeed, and particularly useful for farmers, I would imagine.
Well, I think people are sort of concentrating on an alarm system that will notify them when there's someone breaking into their house.
Into the house, right.
If you can be warned and be prepared, and people, I think this message, say, of if people get in and don't retaliate and give them whatever they're going to get. Now, if two or three people or four people have the intention of getting into your house, they're getting in only for one reason. To rob you and to take as much as they can.
Yeah.
Now, if you tell them you haven't got anything, they're not going to believe you anyhow.
Yeah.
And what seems to be the case lately is that if you give them whatever you have, they still want more.
So, and they'll resort to violence.
And they'll resort to violence. So, like, people are going to have to, in some way, I don't mean that you go along and you shoot someone or that, but there has to be some sort of a way that people can work together. Now, I reported an incident on the Friday night before the chap was assaulted to the Gardaí. A neighbour's alarm system was activated.
Right.
And I noted the Gardaí at about 4:45 on the Friday evening. Now, the Gardaí were sending out someone to check it out. Now, I don't know whether they did or not. I watched to see it did there. I didn't see anything.
And you live far from where Richard Bacalby was?
No, I'd be about less than 5 minutes.
All right, okay.
And I reported the incident. But there was no feedback as to whether... Now, I know they can't contact you on every little willy-nilly, but at least it would set your mind a bit at ease if they were saying, well, listen, we investigated that. It seemed to be just a false alarm. But the alarm system was going for about 10 or 15 minutes, and we reported, and my neighbour was with me when we reported it. and there was no feedback. Now, I'm not saying it had anything to do with the incident in question, but at least if you report these things, and the Gardaí are encouraging you to notify them and let them know.
Right.
But there has to be some sort of a feedback.
And did you leave details with the Gardaí?
I told them, yeah, that the alarm system had gone off.
But did you give your own details that they may get back to you?
Oh, I did. I told them who
did
I was.
You? Okay.
And now, like that chap that was on the other day, he said that he reported an incident.
Yeah.
And the same story. Now, it's not possible. It's not, in the wide early world, it's not possible for Gardaí to get from A to B and be everywhere. We all know that. But people are going to have to work together, and neighbours,
yeah.
I have neighbours, but with this, a couple of us.
And it's one of the things, John, that the Gardaí brought up at that meeting in Cooldairy, that they need interaction and more interaction with the people. But equally then, they have to give feedback to the people who make contact with them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a neighbourhood watch meeting, and part of the meeting they said that there'd be more interaction with the public.
Yeah.
Now, that hasn't happened. That definitely hasn't happened. Now, we have the neighbourhood watch and the alert on the phone. But there has been no alert. I think it's only, there was an alert after the robbery or the theft and the assault of that man. There was an alert to say that there was a meeting, there was a neighbourhood watch meeting. Now, that's after. But my big fear with it is that after all this dies down within a month or 2 months, it'll be the same thing again.
It'll be forgotten until there's another incident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was ironic, like, last night at 8 o'clock, there did a security system call to the door. Right? They were selling a special offer on fitting and installing units for security.
And were they legit, John?
Well, they showed me their identification. But the thing about it was, Fran, I asked them to know, they wanted you to sign up last night. And if you did, there was a special offer. He said between 300 and 400 for to fit the unit to your house.
That sounds very little.
It sounded very little. But then when I inquired of him, I said, is that the total cost of it? Well, he said there's another 300 or 400 euro of a charge for the security system to monitor your house for the year. Right? Now, and I asked him to know, have you any information that I can receive off you? To study the system that they were going to give to me.
Yeah.
But he said, no. He said, what I do is, he said, I'll go in and I'll sit down and I'll explain the system to you and what you get. Now, 8 o'clock last night, after this being so close with the robberies that went on and the assault, now people are going to be very worried. Now, they told me themselves that they're after signing up a lot of people. I don't know whether they did or not. But I think it was a completely inappropriate time for those people to call, especially with the height, I suppose.
And did you say that to them, John?
I did. I said it to him two or three times, Fran.
Right. And what did they say back to you on that?
Well, he said, listen, this is the time we do it at. This is the time we call it. And I said, it's totally inappropriate. I said, the height of, well, I won't say fear, but there are people and there are elderly people that had called her.
Right, and you didn't tell me on air now, but did they give you the name of a company?
Oh yes, I could see it on the badges.
Right, and did you check out that company online?
What I did was I actually phoned the guards.
Oh right, okay.
And I informed them, so they said they'd check it out and get in touch with the company today.
And have you heard back from the guards?
No, I don't know whether I will or not. To be honest, I probably didn't, I presumed I had my number once I called them. And I told them where I was living. And that now, I'm not saying that they will or they won't, but I do think that there needs to be a feedback after, or even, as I say, approximately 4 or 5 months ago, there did 3 people attempt to break into the back of our house and my neighbour's house.
And how was that stopped?
Well, I know, we phoned the guards, my neighbour and myself, we phoned the guards. The guards came out. And in all honesty, you know, I have to be honest, and I'm not praising them where they don't need to be praised. They were out, I'd say, within 10 minutes.
Were they? Yeah.
Now, which is exceptional. Now, I was surprised myself that they were out so quick. But they did go around the areas and the roads they taught me, and they did, because it was 2:30 in the morning, so I stayed up. But, like... these probably again the neighbours should have been alerted of this, that there were people going around doing this.
Absolutely. Do you mind if I ask you, do you have a gun on your premises?
I do, Fran, yeah. I explained this to you before, I do. But
And would you use it, John?
Fran, I honestly believe that no one can say they will use it.
Right.
You can be as courageous and as confident as you like, saying that you will use it. But I think if push comes to shove now to take a life of a human being, I think it takes a fair bit of guts.
Right.
But if I thought any of my family or anyone belonging to me was going to be injured, then I do think that I would use it.
Right. Do you think it's going to come to that at some point, John, that somebody will use a weapon?
Unfortunately, Fran, what's going to happen is either going to be a person that's been robbed is going to be killed, or else what's going to happen is that the burglar is going to be killed. And then everything will be up in a heap. And unfortunately, I think it'll come to that, yeah. Unless there is serious work done to try and prevent it. But as far as I can see, you know, I travel the Limerick motorway, and say I've done a bit on the Dublin motorway. But there's definitely no view of any guards or any kind of security on the main roads or that. And you can see it, it's as plain as the nose on your face. You can travel most of the roads. And my big belief is, and I've always said it, I've seen it in Scotland. I was there for a short while and I seen it. And I think the best deterrent you can have is the motorbike squad on the road. Because I've seen it in Scotland. You wouldn't travel,
yeah,
I'd say, a kilometre, but you'd meet motorbike squad and you'd be stopped.
Right, so that's the way forward, you think?
Well, I don't know. I probably don't believe. But like, none of these things are given the chances to find out.
Will you let us know, John, if you have any news about that security company last night as to whether they were legit or not, if you hear anything back from the Gardaí?
I will, oh, definitely.
All right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
John, good to talk to you today, and thank you very much indeed. That's John from the Ross Grey area speaking to us there on Rural Crime.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
CARMA is a dual diagnosis community group of people who lived and experienced addiction and mental health problems, family members and professionals. Still in its infancy, it's based here in Nenagh, and basically the motto is nobody who is in need of help recovering from addiction is turned away. Donny Ryan is with me now, who is the only North Tipperary addiction counsellor and is the founder of the group. And we're joined as well by Brian Cooney, who is a recovering addict. Brian, is that fair to say? And you're volunteering your services, in fact, is that right?
That's correct, Fran, yeah.
All right, well, listen, you're both very, very welcome. Tony, why did you put this group together in the first place?
Well, the difficulty with dual diagnosis, it has been, and it is all over the country, it's the same, is that there's no integrated service. There's no service where people can be seen in the same place by the same professionals or service users or support workers. So people end up going to different places for different treatments, probably one after the other. If they're seen in one service, they then have to wait to go to the next service.
And when you say dual diagnosis, you're talking about mental health and addiction, is that right?
Substance issues and mental health. And they're very close together. They go together. Anybody with a substance abuse issue almost always has some sort of problems around mental health as well.
So what happens if somebody presents themselves with both those issues?
Well, oftentimes they're told by one service or the other that they can't deal with it. If they go to a community service and they have a mental health issue, they're told they can't be seen by the community service because they have mental health issues. They won't be seen in the community service until they deal with the mental health issues. Sometimes they go to mental health and then they're told, we can't deal with you because you have substance abuse issues. So they're sort of between the two places all the time. And the other difficulty is that there are waiting lists. And one of the things we would hope to do is to get people into the service quickly. Because when somebody looks to do something about their addiction issues, being told that you have to go on a waiting list for 6 months or 12 months or whatever it happens to be doesn't really help much. They have to be seen as soon as possible.
To be stark about it, Donny, are we losing people because of this?
Yeah, we are.
People are dying.
People are dying, yeah. I was talking to a family yesterday. The mother and the sister of a guy who died just a couple of weeks ago. he's just the last, he's the most recent one. But people are dying, yeah, by overdoses, by suicide, by accidental death. People are dying, yeah.
And a lot of that is because there's not quick enough access, or there's not that dual diagnosis, and that is that what's behind it?
I think it's always very complicated. There's always a lot of issues come together, but certainly the fact that people can't access services quickly is a real issue. It's a real worry. And like I said, in the town of Nina and everywhere else as well, have lost people because they can't access services quickly enough.
If somebody comes to your door, essentially, and you're hosting a group or whatever, and they're in a bad way, what happens?
Well, oftener than not, they'll be asked to go away and come back later on. They might be seen by one of the
nurses. Because you're on your own.
I work as an addiction counsellor. I'm the only addiction counsellor in the team. So they probably have to go away and come back. And then there are other issues that if they are to be seen, they'd have to go and get a doctor's letter and come back, and then that letter would have to be processed. So there's quite a delay in their being seen. But yeah, for the most part, if I'm not available to see them, then they probably won't be seen that day.
Now, Brian is with us. People like Brian, he's making himself available to help out because he's in the perfect position to do so. Why can't he help you?
Guys like Brian are amazing. The group that we've put together, the Karma Group, is really made up of mostly guys like Brian. Because he's not working for the HSE. He doesn't work for the HSE, so if he was to be in our building, he couldn't actually be able to see somebody like that.
Even though he'd be volunteering his time, he's got all of the experience and background that could do tremendous work, I presume.
Actually, would do a better job than most people would do, because he knows what it's like. He's been through it. He's been through all of it, and he has all of the experience of the difficulties that go with it. But the way things are structured at the minute, we can't use service user peer supporters. Right now, we can't do that.
And is that because of insurance or health and safety? Or what is that about?
It's just the way it is. The HSE is structured in that way that you have to be working for the HSE before he can work where I am in the HSE.
Even though there is the possibility of saving lives?
Yeah. Yeah. We have a whole lot of people like Brian who would be prepared to do it. Like we have a leaflet there which says, you know, that it's possible that we could have people telephone access 24 hours if we got people like Brian to work with us. And some of the lads are already trained up. They're ready to go. But at the moment, if as poor as the service is, if I finish at 4 o'clock on a Friday, there's nothing then through the weekend, let alone through the night. But we have guys who would be prepared to man a phone 24 hours a day so that people could make contact, people who are newly in recovery or who are just making contact for the first time. But the way it is structured,
we can't do that.
No.
But with Karma, that's outside of the system, is it, essentially?
Well, Karma is a new group. It's a community group that has developed out of this, out of the difficulties that there are. Because it's very frustrating for somebody to want to do something and not be able to get into the service when they need to do it. So we have developed... what happened was we were meeting in the groups, and we did a couple of focus groups. Dr. Marie Uppabone, who was working with us in Nina at the time, we did some focus groups with the lads. Brian would have been part of that. And what came out of it was these issues like access to services, being treated in the same place by the same people. And there's several others that we're going to address on the night of the 23rd in the Arts Centre. And out of that then we decided we'd have a community meeting. We actually held it in the Pastoral Centre. And those discussions have led us to the point where we've set up this group and are looking to develop it further.
All right. Brian, can I talk to you about this? First of all, just to remind people about your own story, you were an addict?
I am a recovering addict, yeah.
Yeah. Just come a little closer to that for me, Brian.
No problem, yeah. I am a recovering addict. I spent a number of years in addiction, and from substance abuse and alcohol, and, you know, I'm... maybe 4 years, clean and sober next year, you know, so...
So you obviously have an awful lot to offer people by way of experience and advice in terms of getting clean.
Yes, I can. You know, with my own recovery in 12-step meetings, I can help someone when they come in there, but when I see this side of it, you know, with you know, what Donnie was talking about with the mental health and addiction from his side of things. Do you know, if my experience, if that was me, do you know, I know that if I wanted help on that day, and that if I approached, say, the Drummond Road down there, you know what I mean, and I was putting a waiting list, I'd go back drinking, do you know what I mean, that day, as my own.
Right, because the help wasn't immediately available for you.
It needs to be there. From my own experience, when the day I wanted to go and get help, I needed help that day. I was lucky enough, my brother helped me out, and he got things moving for me to find my recovery. But yes, it needs to be that day, you know what I mean? In my experience of recovery, if an addict in that hour of need needs something to happen, do you know, it needs to happen. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise, the idea will fade away, you know?
Right. So not only are people not getting clean, though, but would you agree that people are dying, Brian?
Oh, yes, of course, I see it. I see it.
You see it?
Yeah, you do. You see it in recovery, you know what I mean? The guys come and go, and then you hear... I was in treatment with guys who are no longer with us anymore, you know what I mean? It's just, it happens regularly when you're recovering in this world, like, you know?
Right, so you're in an ideal position to tell me. Over the last, let's say, 10 years then, has anything changed? Is there anything better?
No, I don't think so. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how to... I wouldn't have seen much of it in 10 years, but in the few years that I'm around recovery and kind of changing my life, do you know, I don't see anything different, really, or better. Do you know?
Is there an appetite without... you know, I know it's difficult for you because you're employed by the HSC, Tony, but is there an appetite for doing something about this?
Within the HSC? Yeah. Everybody in the HSC is under pressure. That's the truth. The team that I work with are under pressure the whole time. They're stretched, and it's more stretched now than it used to be. So it's not that people won't do it. It's just that we don't have the resources to do it. And I think addiction is sometimes, you know, the real poor relation in all of this. Whether there's an appetite for it or not, it's hard to say. Mm. There certainly is an appetite for change within the community. The evidence of that is the group that's been set up. But it's very difficult to get change within the HSE as well. It's very difficult. And I don't think things have changed. In fact, in my opinion, they're worse. The question that you asked Brian about how things have been over the last 10 years, I think things are probably worse now because of cutbacks and resources being totally stretched. So, and I think, too, you know, some services within the team I'm in have developed. There are other disciplines that have developed more, but addiction counselling hasn't. So it still is the same. It's probably gone backwards, I would say.
Is it very difficult to work in a situation where you're either losing people to addiction or people are dying by their own hand? Is that very difficult to go home at night from that? And
Yeah, it is. Like I mentioned that I was talking to a mother and a sister of a guy yesterday. Like, it's really difficult to see families like that. And it's not... I develop a relationship with the lads. And I think part of it is this is a chaotic lifestyle. The lads that are in addiction are living in chaos. And to try and get them to come in and link into the services can sometimes be difficult in itself. But when you develop that connection with them, then it becomes easier. But the difficulty with that is that when you make the connection with them and something goes wrong or somebody dies, then it's really difficult, yeah, because I know them and I've great regard for them. And then when somebody dies, it's really tough, yeah. But then again, it's like Brian has friends that have died. So it is tough, yeah.
Tell me about the Recovery Awareness Night. That's happening on the 23rd of November.
Yeah. What it really is, what we're hoping to do is... We have to say again that, you know, there are difficulties with it and people do die. But really what we're talking about is recovery. We're talking about celebrating the recovery, that it is possible, that there are guys out there. And again, it came out of the same group and discussions that we would have had with the members, that we need to try and make people in the town aware. You know, there are really great people. There are Gardaí, Sergeant Keating, you know, their TUSLA workers, probation services, they're all involved in working with this. So what we're hoping to do is to bring them together as well and try and link the services that will be involved in, that are involved at the minute, but to really highlight the fact that recovery is possible. And Brian and Hannah have agreed to speak at it. We also have John Lahey from Mullinone, and Kieran Carey is coming from Limerick to speak at it as well. And it is about showing that recovery is possible. People can change. Given the right supports, people can actually change and get into really great recovery. Brian is an example of that.
And that change, Brian, I mean, what has that meant to your life to get away from addiction?
It's meant the world to me. Like, you know, my life is totally different now. You know, I'm in college. I'm trying to learn an education. All these stuff, simple things to a normal person, but it means the world to me, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I have a simple life and I really enjoy it, like, you know, but I wouldn't be where I am today without without the help and support that I've got from other addicts in recovery. Do you know what I mean? That's how I stay sober. I stay sober from other fellow addicts who are helping me recover, do you know what I mean, through 12-step programs as well and stuff, like, you know.
Well, it was very good to speak to you both today. The Recovery Awareness Night is happening on November 23rd. Brian is speaking at it. John Lahey will be there, and Kieran Carey, and I presume lots more people as well. Best of luck with Karma. I hope it goes from strength to strength, Donny. And thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, man.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Welcome back to TIP Today. We're live from Pier Street in Nenagh today. Now, work on replacing 1.5 kilometres of old water mains in Tipperary Town is getting underway today. The upgrade project in the town is expected to lead to significant improvements in the quality and, I suppose, the reliability of water supply for local customers. Tipperary Town Councillor Dennis Leahy joins me online now. Good morning to you, Dennis.
Morning, friend. Yeah,
good to talk to you today. This is a considerable investment, Dennis, isn't it?
Well, this is an investment that was earmarked maybe nearly 12 months ago and was delayed maybe over 6 months. But, you know, that now that it's starting, everybody's delighted, and obviously it would mean an investment of 800,000, as you're saying, and improved quality of water to the people of Davitt Street, you know. And the mains there would be an aged mains, and at the time they were talking about bringing it to their front doors, but now actually I understand they're going to connect them at the back of their houses, because a lot of the water mains are connected to the back of the houses, and so everything is cleared up, and I think it's happy, and there's good vibes there, because I think Irish Water for once are liaising with the people in the area, so the people know what's happening. And I think it's good, and it's to be welcomed. And it's the start of a new beginning there for the town, because, as you know, the surface from, we say, the Dunn Stores roundabout right out to St. Michael's Cemetery in Tipperary Town on the Cashel Road.
Dreadful.
Is in a dreadful place, and has deteriorated phenomenally in the last 12 months, because, I mean, this project was to be done. The road was to be surface dressed and all that, and improvements made, and it hasn't been done. But now that it's happening, like, look, we're going to put all that behind us. We're looking forward to a new water connection to all the houses, the 80 houses in the Davitt Street area. We're looking forward to a new road from Dunn Stores right out to the Cashel Road, and that'll be positive for 2018. And that'll be good for the town and good for the people in Davitt Street.
How long will the works take, Dennis?
They're saying the works will take 4 months to complete. Now, there will be, as you come in, know you're coming up to Christmas, and I understand there will be a break for 2 weeks. Now, there will be a lot of disruption, friend, because you know that is one of the most busiest roads.
It's
part of the N24 going from Limerick to Waterford, and as I understand it, there's nearly 10,000 cars going through the town of Tipperary every day, so you can expect delays. But I understand Irish Water have been liaison with the Gardaí, and indeed with the people in the area, so people know what's going to happen. And I think in a major project like this, it's so important to bring the people who are going to be most disrupted along with you. And that's by bringing them the information and say, this is going to happen, there's going to be 1 in 3 cars go through, and there's going to be a stop-go situation, and we'll try and bring it over this way or that way. which you bring the people with you. And I think that if you bring the people with you, you will have a very successful project.
You're a businessman in the town, Dennis.
Yes.
So you know the difficulties of business in the town. I'm just wondering, how will that affect business in the town, particularly around the Christmas time?
They're breaking for now. In fairness, this project was to go on in June. Mm. And what you have now, you see, you have a liaison between Irish Water, Tipperary County Council, and Transport Infrastructure Ireland, which was the old NRA. So you've three bodies coming on board now in most projects, which delays the project because you've got the three of them to coordinate together. And this is, as I see it, you know, we have our estates that are not being taken in charge because there's this new level of bureaucracy again, that Irish Water in there and they have to sign up and all these things. And this is delaying projects along the way. Delaying them for the better, I would hope, but who knows? Yeah, of course business will be disrupted. Yeah. I understand that people will be very angered and businesses in the town, but I do understand that they are breaking 2 or 3 weeks before the Christmas so that business will not be affected in Tipperary town.
All right. Are there some old lead service connectors, by the way?
I think there's 80 houses in that Davis Street area that have lead piping going into their houses.
And I presume this will deal with that as well, will it?
This will take away the lead. Yeah, you know, okay. As I keep telling people, we take the lead out of petrol.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't we take the lead out of connections, water connections? So it has to be an improvement. But also there's asbestos water connections in Tipperary town, and quite
an
amount of them. Yes, indeed.
Wow.
That the water is carried by asbestos piping, and I would like to see Irish Water investigate that as well, because like lead piping is bad, asbestos piping asbestos piping maybe isn't bad if it's not broken, but who knows? We're talking about an aged services of water being carried into houses,
right?
And all those things have to be looked at. And I welcome Irish Water replacing these lead water piping in the Davis Street area, but I'd love to see them investigate the asbestos pipes that are carrying water into people's houses as well.
All right, Dennis, thank you for making time for us today. Thank you. Good morning to you. That is Dennis Leahy, Tipperary Town Councillor, speaking to us there about the work on replacing that 1.5 kilometres of old water mains in Tipperary Town, but the work going on over the next 4 months.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
And you're very welcome back to Tip Today, 1800-938-007. Do you fancy a bit of wild food? I'm talking about rabbit and pheasant and venison and all of that. Well then, Paddy's Bar in Terrylance is the place to be, and it's all in aid of a very good cause. And to tell me more about this, I'm delighted to be joined in the studio here in Nenagh by Mairead Tierney from Paddy's Bar. Mairead, how are you?
Good morning. I'm very good, thank you.
I'm delighted to hear it. Tell me about this wild food, Mairead.
Wild food.
Yeah.
I suppose the whole idea started, as good ideas do, over the bar counter. I talking to a customer of mine, Bob Foyle, who's big into cooking, and I suppose I'm big into natural food.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the simple ways of producing food, and I suppose the less we do with food, the better for me. So we started thinking about this and talking about it, and I suppose for Paddy's then, we like to do a charity gig at the end of our season, because we like to say, we like to put something back for the business we've achieved over the season. And I suppose particularly locals are very good to me, and I like to give something back to the locality. So we thought about the idea of doing a charity night, and then I spoke to the Terryglass and Kilburn Game and Conservation Club, and they came on board supplying the stuff. And I suppose without them, we couldn't do it, because they have access to a lot of the foods. So, and it grew out of that. I suppose we're 5 years doing it for different charities, and this year is a special charity, really, and a special one for me, because it's the local school. And what we hope to achieve is sufficient funds to assist their literally resources that people would have reading difficulties, rather than have to come out and do a resource outside of the class, that they'd have the special books and that they'd be able to read the same as the next person, maybe at different levels, but that they'd be all inclusive. So when it was a teacher in the school called Deirdre Darmody came up with the idea, and when I heard that, I said, we've got to do something this, and we've got to do it big. So we're putting a huge effort into it this year for that.
Very good. How would it work where the menu is concerned? I mean, is it a case that I have choice between all of these wild foods?
You actually have choice. On the night, we hope to start about 7:30. What we have got all our meats, such as wild rabbit. We have hare. We have venison. We have pheasant. We actually have venison burgers.
Wow.
We have pigeons, and we're putting them, we're doing a pigeon in porter. So my kitchen team are working away, and they're cooking some stuff. Michael Carroll, who runs the canteen in Burrisachane Community School, is assisting us as well, and which he has done so in the past. He's a great charity organiser. And local people are providing potatoes, and they're providing side dishes. So it's really a big buffet, a big community buffet, and everyone is invited to participate.
Sounds fantastic. What does pigeon taste like, by the way?
It's actually a lovely meat.
Is it?
It's a very nice meat. When you look up at the sky and you see them, and you say to yourself, God, they're dirty looking birds. But in porter...
Are they?
They're to
gorgeous.
Die for, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Very small, though. Small,
very small, very small, yeah. But on the night, you get to taste literally everything, and everyone gets to taste everything. And it's just to be a little bit adventurous.
Right, I think it's a great, great opportunity, yeah. Because a lot of these foods, you don't see on menus anymore, you know?
You don't, and you don't actually get the real wild taste of a lot of the wild meats that there are. Now, if somebody isn't anxious for a wild, Tom Whelan Butchers and Dublin have kindly donated a pig on a spit for us. So if you come along and you don't fancy the wild food, there's the pig in the spit for anybody else.
That sounds fantastic. Now, if I want to get tickets ahead of time, can I do that? I presume you're going to sell this out, are you?
We actually don't sell tickets for the event itself. We're inviting people to come and donate and donate whatever they think they can. Now we are selling tickets already, and the two the Durrigan and ourselves and the committee on the school are and the Game and Conservation Club, they're all have tickets available. But for anybody that wants to come on the night, they can buy tickets on the night. For the draw, we have an auction as well. And we also have an apple tart competition.
Go on.
We have. Right. And we had to narrow down the numbers that were baking for us, because everybody wanted to put in their tuppence halfpenny worth. But we have, I think, six contestants, and we're going to crown the best apple tart maker.
So, you know, that's the ideal job for me, is adjudicating an apple tart competition. I'd be so good at that.
Well, wouldn't it be good? But they're... they're very anxious to win this title. It's a coveted title now at this
indeed?
Stage. Yes, yeah, yeah. We're calling it an All-Ireland title.
I love it indeed. All right, so that's this coming Friday night at Paddy's Bar.
This coming Friday night, and I hope Tip FM, if they're free, they might send someone down to us.
Listen, because just it's hearing about all that food and the apple tart, you want to be careful saying that. Be careful what you wish for and all of that. The last time we spoke, Mairead, of course, I was down in Terryglass about the loss of the post office. Have people come to terms with that at the moment?
Well, I suppose we have to come to terms with it now. People have to go to either Portumbrian, most people went to Burrisachane. But it is a huge drawback to any area. Mm. And we're looking around. We have a very active enterprise group, and we've a very active Terryglass Tidy Towns and Kilburn Tidy Towns. And we're always looking at new ideas and new ways to bring other businesses in. When we lose something, we try and bring something in. And of course, I'm beating the same drum as I've always been beating in terms of tourism. I think it's a no-brainer for us.
Yeah, well, it certainly is, because it's such a beautiful area. And the season, was it good to you?
The season was good. And just trying to lengthen the two shoulders if we can. That's what we're trying to do. And shorten the winter period.
Yes.
The winter is a huge drawback to us. It's quiet, and if the weather is bad, then it affects us unduly. But I believe that there's a future, and I and now that with the announcement that the River Shannon is going to be looked at in as its own entity rather than linking us with the Wild Atlantic Way, I think that's a good move. That we mightn't have too much resources in it, but marketing, as I've always said, marketing what we have first of all is key to our development.
All right, Marie, good to see you today, and I'm sure you're going to have a tremendous night.
Thank you very much.
You're very
welcome indeed,
and that's at Paddy's Bar. A bit of wild food, wonderful fare there this Friday night for a great cause as well.